Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Live in Los Angeles, on a Monday, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, there is plenty of both. We got a game tonight. We still have coaches to be hired, potentially one more to be fired. Joy Taylor is joining me on, listen, if the Cowboys season was going to end, and we predicted Friday, 28-27 Niners, if it was going to end, for our purposes, that's the way it needed to end, a complete tire fire on the freeway. That's how it had to end for us. So as I watched it, I thought, yeah, I've seen this before.
Yeah, felt like we've watched that movie before. But what do you do to change the story?
Seems obvious. So I want to this whole first segment, I just want to talk Cowboys. So I'm going to start, don't roll the tape yet. I want to start with the play, the quarterback draw. Now, I would not have called that. Apparently, Kellen Moore called it, and then Mike McCarthy was on headsets. He was good with it. But there are four reasons, with no timeouts left and limited time, why I wouldn't have called it. You can roll the tape now. One, the sidelines are your friend. The middle of the field, your enemy with no timeouts left. It's quicksand. Stay away. Number two, this wasn't the case, but it often is. Middle of the field, quarterback draw, big heavy defensive lineman or linebacker lays on you, you're slower to get up. Number three, the Cowboys were having success with the strength of their team. Wide receiver throwing to the sidelines, 9 yards, 10 yards, 9 yards. Got 30 yards in 14 seconds. It was working perfectly. I've seen it. Tom Brady's done it 1,000 times. And number four is Nick Bosa was out, right? So that meant Dak was going to have a little nicer pocket. And the weakness of the Niners is corners. And the strength of the Cowboys, even with Michael Gallup hurt, is their weapons. Play to your strengths. So middle of the field. That's a stay away with no timeouts left and limited time. It was working. It was attacking the Niners' weakness. But bigger than that, you're paying Dak $40 million a year. I want to see big boy throws. Tom Brady would not have done a quarterback draw. Tonight, Matt Stafford wouldn't do a quarterback draw. Mahomes wouldn't do a quarterback draw. Peyton Manning wouldn't do a quarterback draw. Now, Josh Allen could, but he'd probably outrun everybody for a touchdown. Dak is not Josh Allen. But all the quarterbacks this weekend, outside of Josh Allen, we wouldn't even consider a quarterback draw. And by the way, I don't think you would with Josh Allen because he has such a strong arm. I'm paying you $40 million a year not to run. I'm paying you that kind of money not even to win against the NFC East. It's a crappy division. I'm paying you to make big boy throws in crisis. I'm not paying you to do a quarterback draw and go down to the last 2 seconds. Now, after the game, here was the reasoning by Dak and the Cowboys, apparently.
I mean, it's risky, but when you practice it, as I said, as we've done over and over again, you're not necessarily worried about it. You're trusting your training and everything that you put into it. As I said, I went and ran, got down. As I looked up and was getting behind Tyler, once again, saw the 4 seconds, thought it was time. And, I mean, the rest, you don't prepare for things like that. But, I mean, I guess we'll start having to, knowing the way this just played out.
Okay, it's not practice. It's not the way it is in practice. Here's the other thing. I have a rule I use all the time. Say it out loud. If there were 14 seconds in the game, you had no timeouts. If you ran the quarterback draw perfectly, and you slid, Dak slid a little late, perfectly, and no defender laid on you, which one did for about a half second, a second, and you got the ball to the official perfectly, if it was perfect, you'd have probably 2 seconds left. Really? You're going to make it that close if it's perfect? At practice, you'd have 2 seconds left. You know it's not practice. It's the 49ers. You run a sideline pattern. That takes 3.5 seconds. You'd have 9 seconds left, 8 seconds left. You'd have time for another sideline pattern. In the end, I hated this call. And I don't care what analytics say. The Chargers are pro analytics. They watch the playoffs on TV. The Cowboys there went analytics. Yeah, the Niners kept kicking field goals. They're going to play. But on a bigger picture, let's talk about this. Let me ask you a question, because I know Cowboy fans this morning, they trailed the entire game, want to blame everybody. Do the Cowboys look like a well-coached team? Does Dak look like a great quarterback? Because I saw great quarterbacks this weekend. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. I saw great. Dak looked much closer to Jimmy Garoppolo than Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes. And do you feel you're Dak's your guy now. But Mike McCarthy didn't have to be your guy. But I don't have a lot of sympathy for the Dallas Cowboys. If you keep doing the same stuff over and over and over, you're going to run that thing back? So Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He also appears to have a great coach. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. He appears to have a great coach. And Tom Brady's a great quarterback. And we know at least Arians is a really, really, really good coach. And Josh Allen's a great quarterback, and he appears to have a tremendous young coach. Dak's a solid quarterback. Sometimes he's pretty good, and he's got a weak coach. So you can't change Dak. You can't run him out of town. Where do you make the change? Dak is not talented enough to overcome a really average coach. Don't you think it's kind of strange that since Mike McCarthy left, Aaron Rodgers is going to win back-to-back MVPs? Have you noticed since Mike McCarthy left, we say this about Aaron Rodgers all the time. Guy makes it look so easy. It never looked that easy with McCarthy. It looks easy with Matt LaFleur. But I'm watching all these other teams, and so is Jerry Jones, in Kansas City and Buffalo and Tampa and Green Bay. Those are great quarterbacks that have great support systems from their coaching staff. I don't put Dak in that class, and McCarthy's not even remotely close to that class. At least Dak has days, games, Sundays. I mean, they did score over 50, scored over 43 times, over 30 multiple times. Dak has his moments. Does McCarthy? Have you felt in any moment this year, McCarthy outdueled Sean McVay there or Belichick there? There are moments Dak does. But, I mean, this is what we said. Dallas was going to beat up on the flimsy NFC East, but when they played Arizona at home, they lost. In Vegas, they lost. In San Francisco, they lost. In Tampa, they lost. In Kansas City, they lost. And you're going to run it back? I've never been a fire the coach guy. I've been doing this forever. Like, I'm not a fire the coach guy. I would put Mike McCarthy in an advisory role. I don't want to ruin people's lives. You have to strongly, though, consider today Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore as the coach. You've got to strongly consider it. I mean, how many examples do I need? Folks, did you see the sideline for the Cowboys during the fake punt they pulled off? Here's video for our TV audience. This is a fake punt. Even when they succeeded, look at the sidelines. It's chaos. They were trying to induce a delay of game. They did on themselves. Even when they succeed, it looks like a tire fire. Even when they succeed on the final drive of the game, in the end, it looks like a disorganized mess. The Cowboys were the most penalized team in the NFL in the regular season, the only team in the league to have 14 penalties accepted against them in two different games this year. And that's with Mike McCarthy being a head coach for a decade plus. It'd be one thing if you had a rookie quarterback like a Belichick or, you know, Nick Sirianni's got a young quarterback, and then you're like, yeah, they kind of butcher the line of scrimmage. You got Mike McCarthy's been doing this now for a long time, and they look like it is a yard sale. It's a skier that falls and his equipment goes everywhere all the time. At some point, I got no sympathy for Dallas, Jerry Jones, Cowboy fans. Well, I have sympathy for them, but I got no sympathy if you run this back. This happens in sports all the time where you've got a problem with the organization. Well, what do? You move the part of the organization you can remove. You can't just fire players. Sometimes you can't trade players. Dallas certainly isn't going to move off Dak. He's a valuable entity. He's a good franchise quarterback. He's good. I can argue that he's basically Kirk Cousins with fewer haters, but I wouldn't bail on Kirk Cousins this afternoon. I've defended Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he and Dak are fairly close. I like Dak a little more, not a ton more. But you got to then move the pieces you can move. You've got a younger coach. I don't know if you've looked around, but young offensive coaches are, I don't know, winning everywhere. If you want to go defense, he's in-house. He revitalized your defense last year. But I got no sympathy for anybody inside that organization if you run this nonsense back. None. All right, so many things to talk about. I'm going to say a couple of things today that will sound crazy, but because all of us have eyes, I think you have to consider it. There's some things that were really clear this weekend, and I don't think it's hyperbolic. And I know on Mondays, playoff Mondays, we're all a little crazy, myself included. But I saw something in that Patriot game, and it's so clear and so obvious. Belichick has to see it. That's coming up.
Mic check. If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Poppy.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0. Winner, chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Good to have you in. I just banged on the Dallas Cowboys for wanting to run it back and do the same stuff over and over again. I would move off Mike McCarthy, put him in an advisory role, pay him the money. But you look around this league right now, what is winning? It's not Mike McCarthy. Bill Belichick has always viewed players as pieces, parts. He doesn't get emotional. He's moved off great players, Pro Bowlers. He wanted to move off Brady. He moved off Garoppolo. Josh Allen in the last two games has been so devastating, unstoppable, and jaw-dropping. Could Belichick... and this was a great defense. Be thinking, I probably got to trade Mac Jones, because if this is a gunfight, I'm not sufficiently armed. That was the best cold weather performance I've ever seen by a quarterback. He had four incompletions. And Mac Jones, by the way, this is a great interception by Micah Hyde. Mac wasn't terrible. But the league has changed. Belichick's 70. Mac Jones has value. He is a free player for 3 years at the most vital position. You can win with Tua and Mac Jones. And for some organizations, that's what they're looking at. Belichick wants Super Bowls. Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Josh Allen. Good luck being absolutely a tier below. In the last two games against Belichick, Josh Allen has 8 touchdowns, no picks, over 600 yards, and no punts. No punts. We talk Saints, Bears, Raiders. Is Belichick this morning, who has a history of moving off popular players? He would have moved off Brady. Looking at this and going, okay, I got to face that 10 times in the next 5 years, minimum. This isn't the Brady era where all the quarterbacks and most of the coaches were stiffs. Sean McDermott's excellent. Their GM is excellent. Josh Allen is sublime. He's unstoppable. Now, he's got that Mike Tyson thing where he has bad rounds and bad fights. But in a 17-game schedule, Josh Allen is going to be the better quarterback on the field, like Brady was, 16 of 17 weeks. Maybe if he goes to Kansas City that week, he's not. Or he catches a red-hot Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow. But I honestly thought, as I watched that, Belichick's got eyes. Does he look at that and think, I have created value for Mac Jones? There's 9 teams that need a quarterback. We're talking about where Russell Wilson's going. Nobody mentions New England. I'd like to have that defense, that offensive coordinator, and that head coach. But Josh Allen is so devastatingly gifted. I mean, Joe Burrow's good. He's not that. Kyler Murray's good. He's not that. So Belichick at some point is like, I'm putting out my best defenses, my best schemes. This kid's still young. That's when Belichick can get to a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Herbert, right, in the first couple years. Okay, Josh Allen's still young, and he's pulling away from Belichick. You can't tell me they couldn't get value for Mac Jones. And I didn't think Mac Jones was awful. But Josh Allen is so devastatingly lethal, you can't look at that as a Patriot and think, yeah, next 4 years, 8 times minimum. Good luck. They're not losing at Buffalo. A nor'easter, literally God, nature, the galaxy, is the only thing that gives New England a shot against that quarterback. A 45-mile-an-hour nor'easter. Planes couldn't land. Boats couldn't go out. That's your shot to beat him. Cross your fingers, you get that twice a year, because what I watched is not stoppable. Not at home, and they're going to be winning this division from this point forward. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Joe Burrow had an amazing game against the Raiders, led the team to a 26-19 win, and he's been on a roll the last 3 games. He has completed 76.5% of his passes for 1,215 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions with a quarterback rating of 136.4 in the last 3 games. So quite the stretch for Joe Burrow. He was 24 of 34 for 244 passing yards and 2 touchdowns against the Raiders and led them to their first playoff win in 31 years.
And we said this Friday, we thought the Raiders gave up so much against the Chargers.
Yeah.
And I did feel in the second half, on both offense and defense, I felt the Raiders were a little gassed. In the fourth quarter, I felt like they don't have the energy the Bengals do right now. And it was like, all things considered, what a great year for the Raiders. This was a really hard game to win after that Chargers win.
Yeah, there was a couple games this weekend where you're like, okay, these teams are probably not playoff teams. Like,
right.
The Raiders, we know how they got in.
Right.
We know the year that they've had. I don't think there's anything to be sad or down about. The Bengals were the better team. They looked like the better team throughout the game.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is playing, as I just mentioned, during an unbelievable stretch right now. It's the Bengals' time, and it wasn't the Raiders. And that, I think you can look at different losses in a different way.
Also, I do believe, and this is not a shot, because I would vote Burrow MVP.
Right.
Joe Burrow would be my MVP by an inch over Aaron and Tom. But I also feel like, as great as that win is, this kind of feels like, I think they're one of the weakest rosters left, if not the weakest, and the weakest online. I think you're asking way too much for Cincinnati to now go to Tennessee and beat the Titans. Like, I feel like this is the first step of a decade of really fascinating, maybe Super Bowl appearances. But I kind of feel like, Joy, this is it. This is the bait.
It feels a little bit ceiling-ish, but it doesn't feel like that's a bad thing. Like, there were not massive expectations, and certainly not this season. There's still a lot of, you know, additions that they need to make to their roster. But Joe Burrow has been unbelievable, and he has shown when you really get the guy and match them with the right coach, this is what can happen. Like, the Bengals are not a traditionally functional organization.
Right.
They're not somebody that you just plug and play. Yeah. You really had to find the right guy, and Joe Burrow has been unbelievable. They do play the number one seed Titans on Saturday. They are 3-point underdogs, according to Fox Bet. I do think that's going to be a great game, though. And it felt good for Cincinnati. Like, that place was absolutely packed. It was so loud. It was a great atmosphere there.
Let me tell you something. Between Buffalo fans and Bengal fans, watching these cold weather fans who have been in places, they have sat in those stands for 20 years of bad football. Like, I'm sorry, but it was good for the league for the Bengals to win, and it was good for the league for Buffalo. Like, those are the most loyal fans. Fans that go to cold weather for bad football.
31 years without a playoff win.
So it's like, I'm watching that, and the story is better today. Bengals win, Bills win. It's a better league this morning. Those are easy stories to root for.
Well, the Eagles season ended with a 31-15 loss to the Bucs, but it really never felt as close as that final score.
Good Lord.
Jalen Hurts struggled, 23 of 43, 258 passing yards, 2 interceptions. He wasn't great, but they also were held to 95 rushing yards on 17 carries, and that's a big part of the story because they're the number one rushing team coming into this game. A big part of the reason why it was an interesting game. Obviously, we feel like the Bucs are the better roster and in the better situation, and obviously they have Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, but the physicality in which the Eagles run the ball made it feel like this was going to be closer. Tom Brady was great as well, 29 of 37, 271 passing yards, 115.2 passer rating, and they rushed for a combined 106 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Here's what's scary in the NFC. Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, their two best running backs for Tampa, were not available. Like, so this team has another gear. That'd be like Kansas City last night doing that to the Steelers without Tyreek Hill or Kelsey. Like, maybe not quite that. But Tampa's really at its best. If you go back to last year, with a power running game, Brady didn't have it, and they still took a 31-0 lead.
I think that is the example, like the Bucs and also the Packers. A really, really good team can lose a player or two and still be able to have a great performance. They can do that next man up thing. A team that's kind of in the middle, when you lose certain players, everything falls apart. It become very player reliant on one or two positions. But that's not the situation with the Bucs. And of course, they still have Tom Brady. So again, I look at the Eagles season ending this way the same way I do with the Raiders. No one expected you to be here. And whatever Eagles fans say, you didn't think it was going to happen this way either. I think it's been a great season. Nick Sirianni did an amazing job. We'll just see what they decide to do with Jalen Hurts. They have 3 first-round picks in this draft. Not a quarterback-heavy draft, but who knows? Maybe they put them together and trade for someone. I wouldn't necessarily move off of Jalen Hurts. I still think he has the ability to develop a little bit more. But overall, it was a good season for the Eagles. I didn't think that was a bad loss to lose to Tom Brady and the Bucs. Chiefs started out slow. Gave us a little bit of hope. A little hope at the first quarter. Then they eventually figured things out. Went on to win 42-21. They punted 3 times, committed 2 turnovers in their first 5 possessions, fell behind 7-0 when TJ Watt returned a fumble, but then they proceeded to score touchdowns on 6 consecutive possessions. So just a little slow start out the gate, but then they figured it out. Travis Kelce also threw for a touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger didn't formally announce his retirement yet, but he did say after the game, it was a blessing and an honor to be the Steelers quarterback since 2004. We know it's the end of his career. Like, he did the whole curtain call thing at Heinz Field. It is what it is. They only rushed for a combined 56 yards in the game. So now the Chiefs will play the Bills in the divisional round on Sunday. They are favored by 2, according to Fox Bet. That is going to be an amazing game. It was a rough night for my Steelers, but again, didn't really feel like a playoff team. A lot had to fall into place to get there. Ben kind of made a joke about it, like, we're just going to go out there and have fun. Like, we know we're double-digit underdogs in this game. So it's the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career, and we'll see what direction the Steelers go in next year. But Kansas City is going to face the Bills.
Probably as I can't think of a football game. I mean, you have to go back to Brady, Mahomes, Brady, Manning in their prime, where you got the two most gifted quarterbacks in the world. I mean, Aaron's in that space, but there are things Josh Allen can do Aaron Rodgers cannot. Aaron is not as talented physically as Josh Allen. There's no way. He's not that big. He's not that strong. He can't run. Mahomes, Allen, those are the two most talent. Doesn't mean they're the best. The two most talented quarterbacks in the world meeting. That's like Manning and Brady in their prime. You didn't get a lot of those.
No, it feels like it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
That's not a knock at Aaron Rodgers, but Josh Allen, this is what Greg Cosell keeps saying. He's the most physically gifted quarterback in this league. He does stuff other people can't do. I mean, Josh Allen, when he peels out to run, Judon, like, he just makes great defenders look ridiculous. His ability to, as 6'6", run right at a great linebacker and make him not only miss, can't get close to a hand on him. That's what like Barry Sanders did in his prime. When a 6'6 guy can do it at quarterback, he rolls out a Pro Bowl-level linebacker, can't get a hand on him. It's like, okay, that's a different space. Mike Vick, 13 years, 4 Pro Bowls, joins us live. When you watch, think if you were 5 inches taller. That's almost Josh Allen. When you watch Josh Allen.
I wish.
Yeah, I mean, what do you see with Josh?
Oh, man, I see a quarterback who's just a different specimen. I mean, to be 6'5 and mobile, true dual threat the way he is, strong, powerful. Like you said, guys can't even... You can't even bring him down. You know, you got linebackers, you know, pulling and tugging at him. He's just shrugging them off. I just see a quarterback that's in total control of the game. He has a great understanding of the game of football. And when he has the ball in his hands, he's dangerous. He's the X factor. He's the ultimate X factor, and it's hard to defend him. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills got a gem. And Josh Allen, all you have to do is build around this guy. And I could truly see a Super Bowl in this future.
Yeah. You know, listen, I didn't love the quarterback draw by Dallas for a couple of reasons. And that when you don't have timeouts left in limited time, the sideline, as you know, is your friend. The middle of the field, you got to get it perfect. You got to get the perfect, you know, set. You got it. The guy that tackles you has to get off you quickly. You got to find the ref. There's a lot of chaos on a quarterback draw. Yeah. Receivers left, right, everybody's split out. You know, a quick slant or a sideline throw, everybody just kind of marches down the field 15 steps and you got the next play. Is a quarterback draw is a lot of chaos. I didn't like that call. Did you?
Yeah, I didn't like it, Colin. And the reason I didn't like it is because I just didn't understand it. And we practiced two-minute drill on so many occasions that I could think of. But a quarterback draw was never a play call that we had. And you know, it becomes more difficult when you're dealing with timeouts and you got to spot the ball. And you see when the receivers and running backs touch the ball, they take it straight back to the referee.
Yes.
But I could see how Dak got confused or might have got confused in that situation, because he's never probably, but he said they practice it, they practice that, but you know, you just never know when a situation like that is going to play out in the game. But the quarterback draw, I probably would have added on the side of throwing a short pass and then trying to have the receiver get the ball to the referee and then clock the football. It was just a backward situation.
You know, Mike, I said even on the fake punt, Dallas had 14 penalties, second time this year, even on the fake punt that succeeded, I watched the Cowboys sideline, and the Niners sideline the whole game is under control, Kyle Shanahan head down. When the Cowboys succeeded on that fake punt, the sideline was in disarray and chaos, and I said to myself, I've got eyes here. The Cowboys often look disorganized, whereas San Francisco, I never watch the Rams and think they're in chaos. I never watch the Patriots and think they can lose. But aren't you a little concerned with Dallas? Is sometimes it looks like the sideline's out of control.
Yeah, with Dallas, it's like at times something just doesn't seem right, feel right, look right. It's been that way all season. They started out the season hot and then, you know, they got cold and we all trying to find the reasons why. And then every week is something that shows up, which makes us question, you know, why the Dallas Cowboys look dysfunctional, and then why they at times they look like they come into the game like kind of hoping that they're gonna win and not knowing that they're gonna win. you know, on the defensive side of the ball, they play great, but the confidence just don't seem to seem like it's there. And everything that happens for them, you know, it seems like they always, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but then take a step back. I just don't understand what's going on with Dallas, and it's evident, you know, that everybody see the same thing.
Listen, I was watching Philadelphia, and I mean, Troy Aikman was about as brutally honest as you could be. He was like, listen, it's a single high safety. They're begging you to throw to wide receivers. They're daring you to throw, and Philadelphia struggled. Philadelphia's got three picks in the first round. Okay, that's a lot of picks. I mean, you could literally call a Seattle and say, have all of them, give us Russell. Do you believe Philadelphia is going to watch that film and watch that tape and say, okay, we got to at least consider some options at quarterback? I mean, do you think it was – I mean, because I'm watching it thinking, man, this is – some of this stuff is just bad on film, bad on tape. What do you think is going through the mind of Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman, three first-round picks? Do you think they're picking the phone up this morning?
I don't think they're picking the phone up. You know, first, initially, they got to go back and listen – to what Troy said, because he was so accurate. And as soon as Troy said it during the broadcast, and I think I seen it and pointed it out to somebody I was sitting there talking with, but it was one-on-one coverage all day. And Troy and Michael Irvin, they made a living, you know, throwing those deep outs and throwing those deep comebacks versus that type of off coverage. You got to take advantage of that. And I think when they go back and watch the film, they're going to see that it was plenty of opportunities. But do you believe in Jalen Hurts to make those throws? And is he mature enough to handle those situations where if it's not there, if you get some underneath coverage, that he'll check it down? So, you know, that's a question that they got to answer. But they should have seen that or known that throughout practice and throughout the season. He's more than capable of making those throws. So they got to decide on, you know, what's best for the team. I think Jalen can make those throws. He just got to be put in them situations, Kyler.
Okay, I got to ask you about Kyler Murray tonight on the road. Since he got hurt in about week eight, he missed time. Like Russell Wilson, he came back. He was clearly not 100%. Now he's missing DeAndre Hopkins. What do you expect from Kyler Murray tonight? The defense has not played well for over a month in Arizona, so he's sitting on the sidelines a lot more watching than he was in September and October. What do you expect with Kyler Murray in Arizona tonight, Michael?
He got to take the game over. He got to be a true dual threat, however he can get it done in the air, on the ground, and he's more than capable of doing that. You know, he can be the X factor as well. You know, he's Josh Allen, you know, just in a different body, different stature. So he can get it done, but he got it. The other guys got to come along with him. They got to have some type of running game. They can't come out and think that they're going to spread it out and then just pass, and then Kyler do his thing in between. It's not going to work like that. It's got to be schemed up properly. The Los Angeles Rams got a good defense, and they've been strong all season, but they got some guys out there who can change the dynamic of the game. So Kyler's going to have to be very precise in his decision-making and really, you know, just be calm in this moment and not let the moment be too big for him. So I think he's more than capable. We'll see.
And finally, you know, it's interesting. A lot of times a quarterback, when they have a great coach like Andy Reid, will come out with 8 or 10 scripted plays, be very strong early, and then the game simmers down. You know, Kansas City's often the opposite. They start really, really slow, and then they score 21 points in 5 minutes. It is interesting. With Andy Reid, a great schemer, McVay's teams are usually very, very dynamic in the first couple of quarters, right? First quarter. I would think if you would ask me, what will the Kansas City offense be like? I'd be like, oh, they're going to be great in the first quarter. Andy Reid's going to scheme it, Mahomes. And they're not. A lot. They fall behind. Explain why that is. You were under Andy Reid.
Yeah. Well, we always had our first 15 plays, and those first 15 scripted plays was, you know, plays that, you know, we all came together and said, look, we like this, so we know we can score. And if we're put in these positions and situations, you know, we feel like we can score at least on our first two possessions. But that's, you know, kind of surprising to me that Andy hasn't, they didn't start fast last night and they did struggle early. But for the most part, if you think back, you know, over the last couple of years, the Kansas City Chiefs have been a fast starting team. And those first 15 plays, you know, they always make magic on. And I could think back to my days of playing with Andy. We was very successful, you know, in the first two quarters of the game, and then how you finish, you know, became a different situation.
Right.
But, you know, when you got that first 15 intact, you know, more than likely good things are going to happen. They got to clean it up and start faster, you know, next week.
Yep. Bills, by the way, have a very ferocious pass rush. The difference, the Steelers did too, the difference is Buffalo can score quickly. So it's going to be a fireworks show. Michael Vick, four Pro Bowls, 13 years. Great seeing you, man.
Good seeing you, Kyle.
You bet. Top of next hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. There's all sorts of stuff going on. You know, I mentioned that Russell Wilson stuff because a lot of game playing this weekend. I want to be in Seattle. Then a tweet comes out that Pete Carroll's not getting fired. Then Russell suddenly the next morning wakes up. I want to look at my options. There's a lot of stuff going on here. The best quarterback won every division this year, and this weekend – the best quarterback won every game. Now, the exception would be Dak and Garoppolo. I don't think they're that far apart. I like Dak more than Garoppolo. I don't think it's a huge chasm. But you start looking around at what is happening with the NFL now. I don't remember the best quarterback winning every division. Best quarterback usually wins a division. Now it's like every division and every playoff game. You got to start waking up. We have a cultural change going on. You start waking up thinking, Do I got to move off guys, or am I going to bring this back? Now, Dallas is not moving off Dak. That's not what I'm saying. You start watching Jalen Hurts. You start watching Mac Jones, and you think to yourself, all right, I'm going to bring it back again. I don't know. I think you have to consider everything.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going
to
pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Do you want to be running a Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. It's just like anything. It's, the execution between us and the officiators putting the ball obviously wasn't in tune. We shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. Is that the quote you're looking for?
So he's giving you two options, and those aren't the only two options. You had 14 seconds left. You could have run two more sideline things and had 3 seconds left. He's like saying, we did the draw or the game's over. It's like that; those weren't the only options.
I actually don't understand how, without a timeout, you could ever risk that play.
It just doesn't make any sense
how?
To me.
There's so many ways it can go wrong.
We'll run it again and just say, folks, if it runs perfectly,
right.
You probably got 2 seconds left. If it's perfect... I mean, Michael Vick says, it's almost like when you take your kids on vacation, as a parent, I just build in chaos. It's not going to go right. Somebody's going to have a tantrum. The airline's going to be late. So you just go into it knowing, oh, this isn't going to be perfect. They basically did that thinking it'll just be like practice. That's not the way it works. Absolutely. You just got to assume the referee's going to, you're going to give it to him. He's going to drop it and they'll pick it up. Like
right. If
I would do that play, if I had 21 seconds left, I mean, my takeaway is I wouldn't do it with anything under 15. If I had 23 or 24 seconds left, I could at least say we'll try it.
But then again, with no timeouts, why wouldn't you still throw it to the edges?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing with that, and we'll show it in a second with the Cowboys doing that. The Cowboys and Mike McCarthy are saying it's the right thing to do. It's analytics. Here's the easiest way to think about this. If you just drop back as a quarterback, this is what Brady made a career of, and throw to the sidelines, you simply get more plays. If you run a play to the middle of the field because you can't stop the clock, it means you're going to get fewer plays. So when there's 14, 15 seconds left, this is going to be, at best, one of your final two plays. You know that when you do the play. You only get one more play. If you do it the other way, which is keep throwing to the sidelines, you're going to get 3 plays. So ask yourself. And you know running that play, there's no chance to score. So the minute you decide we're going to do that play, you got 2 plays. That's going to be one of your final 2 plays. Sidelines with 14 seconds left, you get 3 plays. What would you rather have there, 2 or 3? So it makes no sense to me. Even if I had 25 seconds left, because at 25 seconds, you'd feel much better about it. At 25 seconds, I'm still probably limiting the number of plays. If I had 25 seconds, I'd get 5 passes, minimum 4. If I had 25 seconds and ran that, I'd be down to 3. So I just want more plays and more options because stuff goes wrong. It's like when you take your kids on vacation. Anybody that's had kids knows this, multiple kids. You build in chaos. Something's going to be late. Somebody's going to have a tantrum. Somebody's going to forget something. You just build it in. It's the old Home Alone. Hopefully you don't forget one of your kids at the house, but somebody will forget something. A passport, a license. So you leave early for the airport. You get there early. You just build it in. When you're running that with 14 seconds left, you're giving yourself no build-in for that play. If it's run perfectly, you have 2.5 seconds left. Perfectly. So Chris Sims tweeted this earlier. Quote, coaches I've worked with, McDaniels, Belichick, Gruden, always said, 17 or 18 seconds was the line of demarcation for a quarterback sneak like that in the middle of the field. So that's 17 or 18 seconds. You had 14. Those 4 seconds are your season. So here's Mike McCarthy after. Rationalizing it.
Do you want to be running a Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running 5 verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. It's just like anything. It's, you know, the execution between us and the officiating spotting the ball obviously wasn't, we shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. Is that the quote you're looking for?
Okay, first of all, he gave you 2 options. Well, we either were going to throw this or that. Those weren't the options. You had far more variables to consider. So it just doesn't make any sense. And I'll ask the questions again. If you're a Cowboy fan, you can blame the refs all you want. You trailed the entire game. It really should not have been that close. There was a play earlier in the game when Jimmy Garoppolo, on a 4th and inches, complete bonehead play. It's like a high school play. He didn't let Trent Williams, his left tackle, who moved to the right side, get set, which is inexplicable. No excuse. It's a total bonehead play. As a quarterback, one of the first things you always do is just make a quick look. Our guy's set. It was a 4th and inches. If Garoppolo gets that, and he did, the game's over. So Garoppolo gave you this drive. The game should have been over. But Garoppolo made, you know, the kind of move which has been driving Kyle Shanahan crazy. Everybody's paying attention to the interception by Garoppolo. It was bad. I'm not disputing that. But again, playoff games, if you're an aggressive quarterback, I'm not going to crush you for a pick. I'm going to crush you if you're Jimmy Garoppolo. You go to the line. You've got 50 NFL starts. You've been to Super Bowls. You've been to playoff games. And you don't wait for Trent Williams to get set? What are you doing? So for Cowboy fans who want to complain, only Jimmy Garoppolo's bonehead play gave you an opportunity to move it down the field. The game should not have been that close. You can blame the officials, but 14 penalties, second time this year, many in pre-snap. I mean, the pre-snap penalties, that's a coaching penalty. You got to get your act together. So, it's just really interesting. We really saw the gamut on quarterbacks this weekend. We saw 3 levels of it. We saw the great ones. Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, Brady, especially Tom in the first half. We saw great. We saw capable. Derek Carr, Jimmy G, Dak, capable. I mean, these guys are obviously professional athletes. And then we saw Jalen Hurts and Mac Jones. They weren't good enough. The question is, were they not good enough with Jalen Hurts and Mac Jones, or not good enough yet? And that's a determination the GM and the coach makes. They weren't good enough. Mac wasn't good enough. He wasn't terrible. Hurts was. They weren't good enough. But the question is, Josh Allen wasn't good enough his first year. Are they good enough or not good enough yet? I think Philadelphia is going to kick around those 3 first-round picks and look around a little bit. I do. And I wouldn't be shocked if New England did as well. Hour 2 next.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.